Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Those that have been sending us emails with meeting requests and things, thank you for doing that. We've gotten quite a few from all of you, and we're going to put those on a map and kind of plot out a path to be able to try to hit as many of those as possible around America over the next 12 months or so. But thank you for taking the time and thinking of us in being willing to set up a meeting in your area. We appreciate that greatly. Also wanted to tell you about a prepper camp that's coming up September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th in North Carolina. They've asked me to be one of the speakers, and I spoke at it several years ago, and it was really a neat event. Here's what they say. Whether it's for the day or for the entire weekend, Prepper Camp is a total immersion event in preparedness, survival, campcraft, off-grid living, and homesteading skills. Listen to, ask questions of, and break bread with some of the best preparedness, survival, and homesteading experts in the world. Not only will you be able to go to scheduled classes, but you will have the opportunity to gain hands-on experience in a number of different areas of preparedness. And if you go to preppercamp.com, you can see a list of all the different classes offered this year. There's tons of them. They really sound interesting. So some of you that maybe live not too far away might want to come to that. And the information's below on preppercamp.com. But wanted to tell you about that. There's so many things going on right now that seem like they're unrelated, but they're really not. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The elites are just using anything and everything to get what they want. And what they want is total control. But sometimes they just want something to make themselves more money or whatever in the short term too. So there's the long-term global goal of global governance where they're in absolute control. But there's also short-term goals like what I think is going on in Maui, and we'll talk about it. But today, I guess if there was a title to it, it's climate crisis or totalitarian terrorism. Everything that's going on with the judges, the bioengineering, the devaluing of human life, the healthcare system that they're getting more and more control over and censoring anyone that doesn't push the recommendations they're pushing. YouTube's been doing that more and more lately. And then I believe that the arson of forest fires over the last 4 or 5 years all over the world to try to push the fear, push the idea that they're caused by the climate crisis, just like they've tried to say COVID was from the climate crisis and things like that. They're blaming everything on the climate crisis, but most things have nothing to do with that because there's not a climate crisis. But we're going to dig into that, and hopefully it'll help you understand and put together a lot of the pieces of the news just in the last week or two, where it'll make more sense what's going on. But there was a few things this week that happened that I think are blueprints for where they're going in the future, and I want to share those with you. Those that are not subscribers, please consider going to agendaweekly.com and subscribe so you can get all the different things we offer each week and you can help support us. It's only $5 a month, but those of you that love watching these videos and faithfully do every week, think about just stepping in and becoming part of what we do, because we could really use the funding to continue to broaden our influence for truth and righteousness. But thank you for joining me. This week, USA Today had an article, "More Young Americans Are Dying and It's Not COVID. Why Aren't We Searching for Answers?" And they talk about the life insurance actuaries. They're reporting how death is up so much over what it normally is, especially among the young people. And they, you know, conclude a lot of the thing is, oh, it's climate change. The extreme heat is killing more people. And the worst is yet to come. They say that and stuff. But they're not really talking about the obvious thing. What's changed in the last couple years from the way we've been doing things for a long time? Well, of course, it's the COVID shots. But I'm seeing that throughout so many things. Everything's getting blamed on the climate crisis, stuff that doesn't even make sense. But they're using that to create the fear so that we think, oh my goodness, everything's falling apart because of this. We better just do what they say. That's all this is about. One of the things I watched this week was a video by Democracy Now!, which is an ultra-liberal organization. They hate America, they hate God, and they hate freedom. But as I watched the video, they were so excited about a decision a judge had made in Montana, I realized this is it. This is the ticket for them to get that control they want, even though it's totally unconstitutional and everything. But it's the direction things are going to go to weaponize climate change. The Marxists, for a long time, like my movies talk about, have wanted to take down America, take down our freedoms. And the environmentalists don't want us to have cars. To take down the free enterprise system, they don't want us to have businesses. And the production and use of energy, they've wanted to eliminate. Why? Because economies run on energy. No energy equals no economy. Everything you do to produce uses energy, and they know that. And it's been one of the communist goals for a long time. I went to a communist meeting back in 1992, like I talk about in my films. And at University of California, Berkeley, back then, 31 years ago, they said, we're going to use the environmental movement to destroy the free enterprise system in America. And this has just been continuing down that path. Has nothing to do about clean air, clean water, and stewarding our resources. And it never has. But watch this clip about them talking about this court case, because I think this is how they're going to gain the ground they need to gain to just have total control of America.
In a landmark climate case, a judge in Montana has ruled in favor of a group of young people who've sued Montana for violating their constitutional rights as it pushed policies that encourage the use of fossil fuels. In her decision, Montana Judge Kathy Seeley wrote, "Plaintiffs have a fundamental constitutional right to a clean and healthful environment, which includes climate." The judge went on to rule, quote, "Montana's emissions and climate change have been proven to be a substantial factor in causing climate impacts to Montana's environment and harm and injury," unquote. The case was brought by 16 children and young adults ranging in age from 5 to 22. And in Eugene, Oregon, we're joined by Julia Olson, Chief Legal Counsel and Executive Director with Our Children's Trust. Julia, let's begin with you. Talk about the significance of this case and why Montana?
Good morning, Amy. This is a historic decision. It's the first of its kind ever in U.S. history. And why Montana? Montana is one of the states in our country that has had laws on the books that requires it to promote fossil fuel energy and fossil fuel development at a time when we're in a climate emergency. And their laws also required them to ignore the consequences of that and the ways in which greenhouse gas emissions from those fuels fuel the climate crisis. And so these young people used the Montana Constitution, which protects not just their right to a clean and healthful environment, but also their right to dignity, to health and safety and happiness and equal protection of the law. And they sued the state challenging these laws and their implementation. And in June had a 7-day trial, and we just won this historic ruling saying that, that legal regime and the conduct under it is unconstitutional.
So are the laws automatically struck down, Julia?
They are. They're struck down. And not only did the court declare them unconstitutional, but said that the state was enjoined from implementing them.
Did you hear that? So if they set that as a new precedent, where a clean environment is your constitutional right, and anyone that's not doing what we say creates a clean environment, their actions are against the law. It's pretty sobering, but they are quick to learn what works and what doesn't work. That same lady, that lawyer, I went on to listen to the rest of that. She has these cases going all over America right now. And so in many, many states where they're going to just shut down productivity, shut down fossil fuels, shut down, again, energy, which shuts down the economy. which is a purposeful part of the plan. A lot of people go, why did they want to do that? Because when you shut down the economy, it creates poverty. And poor people are very easy to control, number one, but poor people need help. Who do they need help from? The government. So it gets you on government support. It gets you entangled in their entitlements, and then it's hard to ever do anything against them because they're the ones paying the bill. That's the ultimate goal of all this. Of course, the wildfires are happening, as we've talked about many times, because there's no management of the forests anymore, because they've believed the lie that creation left to itself apart from man is perfect. When man enters into the picture, he wrecks everything, which of course is the exact opposite of the truth. If anyone's ever grown a garden, you don't let man step in to steward the garden, you get a weed patch. And that's the way nature is. And when man comes in to manage and cultivate and protect, it makes it green and wonderful and healthy and thriving. But we also look over the last, especially last 5 years or so, and almost every forest fire started in America and Canada and everywhere else was clearly arson. I've read several articles that even said about 95% of all fires are arsonists doing them, but they're environmental terrorists is what they are. This summer in Canada, they had the worst wildfires in their history, right? Because of climate change, right? No, watch this little clip right here. I hope you can see that on the screen right now. That's a satellite image showing a whole section of Canada. And look at the smoke coming out of the forest in about 25, 30 different places, all starting at the exact same moment. That's arson. You know, 30 wildfires don't start in different places at the exact same moment by accident. And it wasn't like lightning out. It wasn't whatever. It was arson. The terrorism of the environmental group is getting more extreme, and they're going to be doing more and more of these things because then they'll say, see, all these fires are happening because of climate change. We've got to stop the production of energy and fossil fuels, and we need to take your cars and everything else. But that's what they're doing with this. And so that's one element of this, okay, is to terrorize us with fear, like the news does every day about everything. It's all a crisis. It's all our fault. And if we just would obey them, it wouldn't be happening, whatever it might be. Then other times, like what's going on in Maui right now, so many details of this to go through, and more is coming out all the time. But something very suspicious is going on there. That wasn't a random thing. And I'm going to just go through several pages of just bullet points I wrote down as I watched video after video on this, trying to find the truth, find what really happened. One interesting thing that came out is before the fires, the governor of the state had already said the state was looking to acquire Lahaina, which is the area that burned down. Which I go, that's funny. An area where people live and they have their businesses and they're, you know, have been there for hundreds of years, you're talking about, yeah, we'd really like to have that whole area so we could use it. That's just weird to me. That's like saying, oh yeah, you know, Montgomery, Alabama, I'd like to use that for what I'm doing, you know, when there's already people that own the property, they already live there, they're already having their life there. So that was interesting. Also before the fires, there was a summit planned for this September, just in a couple weeks, in which they were talking about, we're going to set up AI to govern this island. We're going to set up a whole new kind of civilization here. And then in January, they already had a conference set up to turn Maui into a smart city area where everything would be changed over to electricity. No fossil fuels, no gas-powered cars of any kind. And it would be a 15-minute city where you can't leave and go further than 15 minutes from your home. Those were things they were already talking about, which I go, that's interesting. And then conveniently, the whole place burned down, so it'd be a fresh slate to start from. But then as you look at the actual details of what happened, here they are, not necessarily in a certain order, but things I wrote down. One, they're blocking aid from coming in now. Many local people and churches are trying to help. They're like, no, nothing can come in here. They've shut down all the news reporting. Reporters aren't allowed in. That's just weird, a complete lockdown. The governor has already said a couple days ago, when there was still smoke in the air, the state wants to buy up all the land that was destroyed. Well, they'd already talked about that before the fires. We'd like to get that property there. It's really valuable, but there happens to be people that live on it. How can we do this? To me, it's just so fishy. And then if you look at, the police were ordered to block the roads of people getting out. Why were they doing that? And so many people died while they're waiting in line in their cars. They were burned up. There was no sirens of any kind. The island has a very advanced emergency warning system. It was never turned on. The cell phones never gave any warning that there was a fire sweeping the island. The water was turned off 4 hours before the storm. So when the firemen went to turn on their hoses to fight the fire, there was no water in the system. Why? Another really important thing, the power lines were never turned off. And if you didn't know how it works, as I've studied this, like when hurricanes and stuff come, they always shut off the power company. So when the lines get blown down, they're not hot, where they'll start fires, the transformers will explode and everything. They never turn the power off. Even with 70 mile an hour winds, they also never trim the trees. The local said that, the trees are just hanging over all the power lines. Well, I live out in the middle of nowhere in Alabama, and they regularly trim all of our trees and branches back from the phone lines, 10, 15, 20 feet. Even out here where you go, man, it would be hard for them to get around and do all the power lines, but they do. They do that everywhere. Every power company does that because they know all it takes is one tree landing on those lines to start a tremendous fire in that area when the transformers explode. But they need, when there's crises, a tremendous loss of life. And I know that sounds extreme to say, do you think this was purposeful? I think the lack of action before and after was totally purposeful. When they had already said, we want this property, and they're like, how do we get it? And then they do all these things, just negligence, obvious negligence. You go, that's weird. Who commanded the police to not let people get out of the fire zone? I mean, there's so many questions to be answered, but there's so many things that show there's dirty fingerprints all over this. Bill Gates has wanted to open a Four Seasons hotel there for a long time. And the locals said, no, we don't want that here. But just about a year ago, the city council said, this area can only be rezoned to have commercial enterprises and things here in the case that there's a natural disaster that destroys things. Otherwise, though, no change of zoning can happen. When you see pieces of the puzzle like that, you know it's rotten. You might not be able to prove exactly what's going on, but some other things. This one is really disturbing because as I've studied the left and their agenda over the last 100 years, this is very common. The police chief on this little part of Maui, guess who he was? He was the police chief from Las Vegas when they had the big mass shooting there. And many people were disturbed because many eyewitnesses had said many things happened different than what we were told. When all those people were killed at the concert, many people had said they'd seen multiple gunmen and different things. But this was the police chief there that said, no, it's just like the government said, it's one lone shooter and on it goes. And now he moves to this place and he's the police chief there when this big crisis happens. That, to me, is the greatest red flag of all. The odds of that, the hundreds of thousands of cities all over the world and another guy's in charge, it's just rotten. The power company there is owned by BlackRock, the power company that never managed the lines and took care of all the growth that's growing over the power lines, which would clearly cause a problem, especially in a storm. And then the power's not turned off, even though there's hurricane force winds, which you always turn it off so it doesn't start fires. There's over 100 billionaires that live there, 100. And their homes, of course, weren't hurt at all. But they want that property to develop because it's worth so much. But it was developed hundreds of years ago, so it's just a nice little quaint town that doesn't have all the normal high-rise developments and things that so much of Hawaii does that was developed later. And they want their hands on that because they can make a fortune. But the reason I believe the fires were allowed to happen, we don't know what level they made them happen, but they wanted them to happen. That is clear, is they want that land. That's what they always do. They get whatever they want. I guess that's my main point in that. And they'll use crises, they'll use death and destruction, because human life to them has no value whatsoever, none. Because our civilization has lost the idea that human life is precious. It has tremendous, priceless value to it. I was watching a clip from a newscast in Australia this week, and a man had a comment on it, and it was so powerful. They were passing a law saying you do not have to take care of aborted babies that survive the abortion. You can just let them die on the table. And as you hear that, you just think, what kind of barbaric people have we become? But then you think, it all makes sense with that. In a culture where you can let some bioweapon go because you know it's going to allow you to see how far you can go and how much progress you can make toward totalitarian control. Or you can push a vaccine and say, you know, yeah, we know it's not safe. We know it's not effective. There's going to be a lot of complications. It's going to make most of the people that take it infertile. But who cares? We need to get rid of these people because we want everything to ourselves. There's way too many people. All that starts when you throw God out, you devalue life, and it means nothing. But as I watched this clip of that newscast, the newscasters were talking about that. And they were shocked. Like, how can you just leave a baby to die on a counter when you say you're for life and you're a doctor that's there to protect and to nurture and everything? But watch just the tail end of their broadcast and then the comments of this older man that I thought were just so wise. And one of the most important facts we need to know, the reality of where we really are as a civilization.
And those figures, 700 babies born alive after surviving an abortion but then just left to die, should be a national scandal. At present, abortion providers aren't required to do anything to help a baby that survives an abortion. They're simply left there and time of death is eventually recorded.
And when you consider how long the wait list is for adoptions in this country, the amount of homes that are desperately wanting a baby to love and take care of, this would not be an imposition. This would be an incredible blessing.
No one's saying that these babies, if an abortion fails, have to be foisted upon the mother. They can be taken and adopted out. Why we don't do that is...
We adopted children from Africa because we were told to adopt an Australian child, you'll be waiting at least 10 years. There's a lot of people who would adopt these babies rather than just have them left to die.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
Is there a time in all our lives when we are vulnerable and completely dependent on others? Yeah, that's going to be true for absolutely all of us. So maybe we need to think more about how important human beings are, the uniqueness of human individuals and the sanctity of human life. Or just stop pretending to be civilized. Let's just admit we're barbarians. I'll leave it there. Thank you for watching.
Of course, it's not just the babies that survive abortions. It's abortion itself. It's the new abortion pill that's going everywhere since Roe v. Wade was overturned. Then they just give you a pill that's going to end your pregnancy. When they love death, they love it. And you cannot stop them from committing murder because they love it. It's the doctor-assisted suicide that's growing all over the world and in America. And euthanasia, the idea that once people get old, they have no value to their life anyway, let's just end it. But our civilization doesn't exist anymore, is the bottom line. We are not civilized people. We are barbarians, we're pagan, and it is a vile culture. When he said that, I go, yeah, you're totally right. But then I realize it fits into everything I'm talking about here. Once you have left that idea where God told us and he modeled for us that we are priceless in value because he sent his son to die for us. So you realize human beings have value beyond anything. But once you go, no, we're not interested in that. We're not interested in God. We're not interested in any of your nonsense. Then that's where you get all these things happening. Another story this week. I was watching, showing how they, in their pride and arrogance, the experts, they're going to make us do what they want us to do, whether we like it or not. Here's a little clip from a doctor talking, a scientist, at the World Science Festival. And this is from 7 years ago, but saying, people don't want to give up meat, so here's a way we could do it. Watch this.
Use, sort of climate change is a really big problem. We don't really know how to solve it. But it turns out that we can use human engineering to help us address climate change. So I'll give two examples. So one is that people eat too much meat, right? And if they were to cut down on their consumption on meat, then they would it would actually really help the planet. But people are not willing to give up meat. Yeah, you know, some people will be willing to, but other people, they may be willing to, but they have a weakness of will. They say, wow, this steak is just too juicy. I can't do it. I'm one of those, by the way. So, you know, but so here's the thought, right? So it turns out that we know a lot about, we have these intolerance to, for example, I have milk intolerance. Some people are intolerant to crayfish. So possibly we can use human engineering to make it the case that we're intolerant to certain kinds of meat, to certain kinds of bovine proteins. And there's actually analogs of this in life. There's this thing called the Lone Star tick, where if it bites you, you will become allergic to meat. I can sort of describe the mechanism. So that's something that we can do through human engineering. We can kind of possibly address really big world problems through human engineering.
So they're going to engineer things, put it in the food, put it in the water, whatever, that'll make us all allergic to meat if they don't want us to eat any more meat, and they'll get what they want that way. But it's a fearful day when the experts so disrespect God, so disrespect the creation, so disrespect life, and in their pride, they are so overestimating their own capabilities, they're going to, yeah, we'll modify stuff to do whatever we want. But I just saw that and I said, man, they are just at that level now where it's like the chains have come off and they're just running as fast as they can. They don't care if it succeeds or fails, but they want to try everything they can to make as much change happen as possible in every area that they can. And that's what we're living in. But that's why all these things that seem like they're not related at all, they're totally related. We have these globalists, elites, communists, people that just have a lust for power that's hard to understand, that are realizing we have no limitations anymore. We can do whatever we want. And we're going to propagandize the people where they're so confused about what's going on because we're just throwing story after story at them. We're telling them about all the things that are going to happen that are going to cause them pain and suffering if they don't obey. And they're just going to be whipped into submission. And they're all going to be staring at their smartphones and they're not going to notice as we put the chains on them. But that's what it is. But there's one last area I want to talk about in closing here, wrapping things up. Everything is falling under the World Health Organization. And the reason that is they're lumping everything in. Climate affects your health. COVID affected your health. It's a way to take control of the health system completely. Because if you have control of that, you decide who lives and who dies. You're the masters of people's fate if you control medicine and you eliminate all alternative medicine and all information that doesn't confirm what they said is right. Anything that contradicts them will be censored and erased. But there's a couple clips here I want to play in details, because the World Health Organization is working toward these digital health certificates for everyone. And so all these things fit together, because if they can say the climate crisis is hurting your health, then it fits under there too. But anyway, here's a clip from Tedros, who's the head of the World Health Organization. And just to remind you, in case you don't remember, he's actually a member of the Communist Party. So it's not like some guy that's just left-leaning or whatever. He was one of the leaders of the Communist Party in Ethiopia, where he came from. But watch this clip of him talking about how COVID was a blessing for those ends.
The COVID-19 pandemic highlighted the value of digital health solutions in facilitating access to health services. While the emergency phase of the COVID-19 pandemic is now over, investments in digital infrastructure remain an important resource for health systems and for economies and societies at large. Like many countries, the European Union made significant investments in COVID-19 certificates to help people move around as safely as possible during the pandemic. The European Union certification system was used by all 27 EU member states and more than 50 other countries. Building on the success of the EU system, WHO is proud today to launch the Global Digital Health Certification Network. Soon after, we will expand this infrastructure by incorporating other uses, such as a digitized international certificate of vaccination, routine immunization cards, and international patient summaries.
So I hope you're looking forward to your Global Digital Health Certification, to keep track of your vaccination status, any health problems you have, any medications you're on, so they know everything about you. And of course, that is going to be incorporated into your digital ID. And then as the CBDCs and the digital currencies come out, it's all tied together, where they have everything about you in one place. And whenever they see you're causing a problem, they hit the button. And you no longer exist, or you no longer have health care or any money in your bank account and everything else. So it's so clear how they're setting this up. But there's some people that see it, and it's so neat and encouraging when you see that. There's a lady, Christine Anderson, from the EU Parliament. She talks about the whole COVID thing in this short clip. You need to watch this. It's so encouraging. There are voices, there are lights out there. And then I have one short clip from Senator Ron Johnson in America saying it was all purposeful, pre-planned by the elites. And that's important, that we share this kind of information so others go, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that. So they awaken from their sleep so they don't buy into these lies. But watch these two clips, and then we'll come back and wrap up of things we can do.
This whole COVID madness, this so-called pandemic, it was just a test balloon, a gigantic test balloon. Well, for what, you ask? Well, to see how far they could go, to see what exactly they would have to do to get free individuals in a free and democratic society to consent to be enforced into compliance. That's what they were trying to establish. That's what they were trying to figure out. And they have figured it out. Trust me, they are much smarter now. The goal ultimately is to transform our free and democratic societies into totalitarian societies. Their goal is to strip each and every one of us of our fundamental rights of freedom, democracy, the rule of law. They want to get rid of all of this. This whole COVID thing had never anything to do with public health. It never had anything to do with breaking waves. It always had to do with breaking people in order to make us a part of a mindless, malleable mass, which they can totally control, and we will be completely dependent upon this globalitarian elite. So I'm really imploring the people and all the peoples around the world, for God's sake, stop giving your democratically elected governments the benefit of the doubt. They are not deserving of that. They are not. Stop rationalizing whatever your government is doing. Stop rationalizing and come up with some good intentions. They have no good intentions. Never. As I said before, in the entire history of mankind, there has never been a political elite concerned about the well-being of regular people. And it isn't any different now. Why should it? Stop giving them the benefit of the doubt. Because I can tell you, you cannot comply your way out of a tyranny. It is impossible. Trying to do so, you will only feed a gigantic alligator in the hopes of being eaten last. But guess what? Your turn will come, and then you will be the one swallowed up. I also have to ask the people, end your silence. Speak up. For God's sake, stop complying. Start rebelling. They're out to get you if you do not resist.
This is all pre-planned by an elite group of people. That's what I'm talking about. Event 201 that occurred in late 2019, prior to the rest of us knowing about this pandemic. Again, yeah. This is very concerning in terms of what has happened, what is happening, what continues to be planned for our loss of freedom. Again, it needs to be exposed, but unfortunately, there are very few people, even in Congress, that are willing to take a look at this. They all push the vaccine. They don't want to be made aware of the fact that the vaccines might have caused injuries, might have caused death. So many people just simply don't want to admit they were wrong, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure that they're not proven wrong. We're up against a very powerful group of people here, Maria. But fortunately, you say, what can we do? Well, we do have reporters like yourself, like John Solomon, other people that have the courage to report the truth against the mainstream media and against the narrative. But that's the only way this is going to be solved, is we need the truth to be exposed. We need more Americans to listen to the truth, to be exposed to the truth, to pull their heads out of the sand, quite honestly, open up their eyes and understand what has happened to this country. We are going down a very dangerous path, but as a path is being laid out and planned by an elite group of people that want to take total control over our lives. And that's what they're doing bit by bit. They do it by increase of massive government spending, increase in the size of government, takeover of the WHO. These amendments that are coming up that are going to be voted on in 2024 on the WHO are frightening, and they really risk taking away all of our sovereignty. People have to awaken to the dangers of the moment.
You can never satisfy their lust for power with compliance. Both those people are just excellent, so powerful. They're right in the middle of things, and they see it so clearly. It's exactly what has happened. It was a test balloon for the next pandemic that Bill Gates says is coming in 2025 that's going to be far worse than the last one, and I agree with that. I said before he even had that conference, they're going to do this again. Nothing they have ever done has been so successful in gaining ground, expanding government, and just abolishing freedoms and rights all over the world. Nothing has ever happened like that in history, and they realize we need to do it again. And I think they're going to do it again with something that is far more deadly. We just need to continue to pull in and be local, be right where God has placed us, buying things. Our money's in the small local banks. We're doing business in our community. We're trying to defund the enemy by not being involved in all the big corporations and things as much as possible. Just stay away from that and find things in your city, your state, your county, And the more we do that, the more we're going to be prepared to say no to all their global health initiatives and tracking, tracing, registering, compliance, and everything else. Because we'll have set up a little life for ourselves that's out of the big system they control. They control big business, big government, big pharma, big health. They have total control of all that. Big education. We need to just say no to all of that and pull back in and provide by ourselves or with those around us and like-minded people everything that we need, because they're going for the finish line, and they will do whatever is necessary because they have no value for human life, none, zero. And that's scary when they're like that, because they don't care what happens to anybody, and they're hoping that 7 billion people are gone over the next 10, 20, 30 years. That's their goal. They said that, not me. And so when you see that, you're like, okay, I got to prepare for the storm that is coming. Our Bible verse for this week is 2 Timothy 2:19. And after I just said all that stuff about how they're using COVID, climate, pulling it all together under health for the dictatorship they want, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Doesn't matter what these people are doing. It is sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. If you're a Christian, he knows you. And he's going to guide and direct your path. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, if you are a Christian, depart from iniquity. Live in such a way that you are so clean and pure and different that it draws attention to how much change Jesus has brought about in your life. And that will be a light to a very dark world, that there is hope, that Jesus is real, because your life is proof of that. And the world is desperate for good examples. I tell my kids this all the time, people I meet, just be different. Be neat, clean, happy, diligent, mannerly, respectful, and just do everything you do with excellence for the Lord. And you're going to be a light that the world cannot ignore. But I appreciate you. Hope that this was helpful in some way. And until next week, God bless you.